I'm going to tell you before I even read my scripture. To my knowledge, this might be my second time to preach this year. I thank each of you for your prayers, your love. And there is no pun intended in my message, but I couldn't get away from this. Walking on, walking through, and walking thrilled. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. We ask that you touch. We ask, God, that you pour out your spirit in this place. Order every word that is spoken. Anoint our hearts and our minds that we would be receptive to your word. God, we give you praise and glory. I thank you for every person here this morning, that they would be touched and changed. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk briefly. You may be seated. Walking on, walking through, and walking thrilled. In Genesis chapter 13, we have the instance of Abram and Lot's separation. Strife between the herdsmen dictated a much-needed meeting between the uncle and the nephew. And after a discussion, Abraham pointed in a sweeping motion towards the expanse of land and encouraged Lot to take first choice. And Abraham convinced Lot that there was no need for strife or discord or anger. And the obvious expansion of each man's flock insisted on a separation. And the expansion of these flocks strained the relationship that they had. And Lot scanned the fertile fields and valleys. He examined the horizons and of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot decided on the plain of Jordan. Filled with rich soil, glossy streams, abounding wildlife, he hugged his uncle, he packed his bags, and he left for a happier life and way in the east. Abraham gazed with great affection as his impulsive nephew departed, and no doubt tears and doubt and worry welled in his mind as 1,000 quickened memories came crashing through his thought process that he could recall. And he heard the voice of the Lord, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall he thy seed also be numbered. Abraham, at the conclusion of the family separation, received a great promise from the Lord. And although Lot had chosen first, God had reserved the best for the father of faith. Lot went forth by what he saw, while Abraham always, always waited for what God said. I don't know the situation you might be going through. I don't know where you might be in your personal relationship with God. But if you will just hold on to the things of God and to the word of God, God will speak to you and show you and encourage you and help you get through your situation. Yes, he will. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I want to talk just a little bit about walking on, walking on. Abraham needed only look in every direction as far as the eye could see to behold the everlasting boundaries of God's provisions. Abraham beheld the vast acreage and the land and the view. The land of destiny that would one day hold the countless inhabitants of his seed. But Abraham was not just encouraged to look at the land.
Scripture says, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Abraham was not allowed just to gaze at the dream, just to gaze at the promise. He was instructed to go. You have to go. You have to do something. You have to activate yourself. You've got to do something. We cannot merely see the good things of God. We must walk in them. We've got to walk in them. Beholding the promises of God and behaving as joint heirs of Christ are two different mindsets. They are. One can see where he wants to go, but without active faith, it is nothing more than virtual reality. That's a fact. It becomes a reality never realized because action is not taken. You've got to take some action. We cannot just sit in our life and boast of the land that we own and yet never move forward to actually occupy what has been granted to us. You've got to take control. You've got to activate some kind of action inside of your heart and soul and spirit. You've got to make a decision and you've got to walk on. You've got to go forward. What good is $1 million of inheritance in your bank account if you never withdraw the funds and put the money to work? It's no good. It's not going to do anything for you. It will merely gain interest for someone else's dream. Yeah. What good is a fertile field if I never plant a seed in it? The soil could be the best soil in the whole world, but if I never plant something in it and fertilize it and water it and cultivate it and take care of it and guard it, nothing's going to happen to it. Only the weeds of the should have beens. Well, if I had, you've been there, if I had just done this, that would have happened. But you didn't. You stayed in the same spot and you looked at it. If I had just planted that, I would, you know, I have two little orange trees that I planted out there. I would just about hurt somebody if you came and hit them or touched them or did something to, I have protected them little things. I hadn't got one piece of fruit off of it yet, but I will. I will because I'm going to take care of them. I even put some little foam rubber around them. Advice from pastor, they might freeze. You might want to keep them a little warm. But you have to do something. You got to put something in to get something out. You got to put something in to get something out. You have to do something to have a harvest. You've got to do something to reap the rewards of God. To possess the blessings of God, there must be an activation of the proposed plan. The will of God also comes with a will of guidance, an escorting desire that cannot just sit by and watch the blessings decay for lack of involvement. An initiative must be taken. You got to get in gear for yourself. You can't live for God because mama or daddy or pastor or your friend or your aunt or uncle. You've got to live for God for yourself. You come to church this morning because you wanted to come to church. Nobody could make you come. You came because you wanted to come. Now do something with it. You've got to activate. The promises of God fulfilled in our lives are often only reflective of the steps that you and I take, thus measuring out the true capacity of attainment. It's up to you. It's up to you how much prayer you get. It's up to you how much blessing you get because what you put in. The Bible says clearly, lay down the spirit of heaviness, pick up the garment of praise. What do you got to do? I've got to begin to praise the Lord. I've got to begin to worship. I've got to keep walking. I've got to keep believing. I've got to keep praying. I've got to keep fasting. I've got to keep trusting. I can't stop because somebody else has messed up or stopped. I've got to keep going forward. I've got to keep pressing towards the mark. Hallelujah. Don't just notice the beautiful orchard of your dreams. Go forth. Reach out. Expend determination and begin to taste the fruit of your labor and the reward of your work. Don't just watch the train lined with boxcars holding your hopes and your dreams go by on the track. Get on the train. Go down the track. Apply yourself. Do something for yourself. Better yourself. Make some decisions that this year in 2015, I'm going to be a different man. I'm going to be a different woman. I'm going to live victoriously. I'm going to live righteously. I'm going to live holy and pure and acceptable in the sight of God. Mere observers have to experience their ambitions vicariously. But obtainers seize the moment with hard work, with constant practice, tenacious faith. A joint heir of Christ walks in the knowledge of his destiny and lives out in detail the meanings of that destiny, avoiding complacent reasonings that would immobilize godly principles and righteous living. You make a decision every single day of your life. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. Today is going to be a good day. I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. I'm going to be wiser in my choices today than I was yesterday, because I'm learning from yesterday in my past. It's a school teacher, but I've got to head forward. I've got to go forward. I've got to keep walking. I've got to keep moving. I've got to keep pressing towards the mark. Psalms 84 and 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You've got to walk on. You've got to press on. You've got to keep moving forward. Don't stop and get complacent. Don't stop and have a pity party. Walk on. Walking through. I like this one. Psalms declared, the psalmist declared in Psalms 23 and verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The key to this verse, I believe, is I walk through. You got to keep walking. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through valleys. You're going to go through despair. You're going to go through hurts. But you got to keep walking through. You got to keep going forward. You got to keep doing what you know is right. I had an old man years ago tell me, what do you do when you've done everything right and you get all the wrong results? What do you do? He said, you keep walking. You keep doing right. You keep doing right. You keep doing right. You don't stop. You keep doing right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He didn't stand in fear for observance. He moved forward. He kept moving through. He kept walking through the trial. Step by step, he walked. He didn't stay in the attendance of the shadow, the grieving areas of the mind that haunt the future actions, the dreadful dispositions that disappoint leaves. And you don't stay there. You don't think about that stuff. You get it out and you just keep walking through. He focused on the rod and the staff of the shepherd, and gradually he inched his way through, little by little, inch by inch. You can work yourself out of the problem. You can get through that situation. God might not take you out of it, but he'll take you through it. He'll take you through it. If I sit in self-pity long enough, then gloom becomes a permanent residence. I cannot trade gloom for gladness when I painstakingly and resolutely decide to get on. You've got to get on with life. You got to trade out all the gloom for gladness. When I reuse or refuse to settle in the land of sorrow, you gotta do something. You gotta make up your mind for yourself. You gotta talk to yourself. I talk to myself a lot more now than I used to, but a lot more. I look at, hey buddy, it's gonna be a good day. You're gonna be a soul winner today. You're gonna look good today. You're going to shower and brush your teeth and put on deodorant, and you're going to smile at somebody today. I hope you make that up in your mind and don't even have to talk to yourself. Just do it. I do all that all without thinking about it, but you know what I mean. Sometimes you got to kick yourself in the pants and say, hey, get going. Don't stop. You can't quit. You can't give up. You can't go backwards. I'm not living for God for you. Sorry. I love you. But I'm living for God because I want this relationship and I want to make it to heaven. You've got to have the same attitude. You've got to do this for yourself. You've got to walk through. You've got to walk through. In Acts chapter 28, Paul calmly endured shipwreck because he knew his divinely preconceived destiny was to stand before Caesar. He couldn't be drowned by an agitated waves or of shipwreck because God wasn't finished with his witness. He walked through. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David tranquilly faced Goliath, who was armored with over 450 pounds of brass, highly trained for war, a man of war, undefeated in battle. But how could David be eliminated by a heathen when he had been anointed by heaven to be the king? He was still just a shepherd boy. He was still just a little guy, but he had something come up inside of him. You're not going to defy my God. I'll stand up to you. I'll take you out. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. You can be an overcomer. You can be victorious. You can live for God no matter what happens to you. You got to walk through. You got to walk through. Don't just gaze. Go. Go forward. When faced with daunting tasks, emotions of trepidation, and leftover feelings of bad relationship, don't just gaze at the shadows of defeat and death and hurt and turmoil. Keep going forward. Keep moving forward. Go through. For on the other side of your situation lies your destiny. Your destiny. I want to talk just for a minute about walking thrilled. I like this, walking thrilled. I can walk with a smile on my face. I can walk in victory. Listen to the reassuring words of Isaiah 55 and 12. For ye shall go out with joy. Anybody here got some joy this morning? Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign. Thou shalt not be cut off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you can make it. You can live for God. The thorn might poke you for a little while. It might sting for a little bit. But hallelujah, you're going to make it through. This reference tells how Israel would leave Babylon. They would leave with joy. They were going to leave with no more captivity, no more sad countenance, no more waiting for sunshine moments in a cloudy world, no more chains. But they were going to have a real change in their life. They were going to have a real change in their situation. And you may think that the flowing tears and that river that you're on right now, that you'll never know anything different, but that being hurt by friends and loved ones and relationships, that's the only road you'll ever walk. But I'm here to tell you, you can take control. You can move forward. You can go through. You can walk on. You can walk through. You can walk thrilled. You can put your head up and trust the one who will never leave you or forsake you and say, God, I'm not perfect, but I'm your servant. God, I don't understand everything that's going on, but I trust you. I love you. I'm sold out to living for you no matter what. If you've ever been captive to depression, unable to smile, incapable of energetic activity, look to Jesus. Not only will he take you through, but he'll make you thrilled. He'll give you joy back. He'll give you your peace back. He'll give you your love and your hope back. You can make it, sir, ma'am. You can make it. Hear me this morning. If you don't hear anything else, hear me. You can make it. Your life can change. Your circumstances can change. You can come through the issues that are facing you. Instead of the thorn, the fir tree will come up for you. Maybe you've been used to thorns in your life. Maybe you've had some prickly trials. Musicians, y'all can come. Maybe you've had situations in your home, in your job, in your family, in your friend relationships. Haven't been perfect. They've hurt. Usually the people that are closest to you and you love the most hurt you the worst. But God said the thorn's going to be replaced by the fir tree. You can make it. You can make it. God uses thorns to build your trial. But he'll come in, just like Brother Baggett said this morning, faith to faith, glory to glory. There's something in between.
There's a battle. There's a trial. There's something that's not very fun. But in order to be an overcomer and have a testimony, you've got to go through that something that's not very fun. But if you'll just keep going on, going on, going through, and going through, walking, walking on, walking through, and walking through, you can make it to that other side. You can get to the other side and be victorious, and you will have a testimony. You will have a testimony. Is it fun? Is it easy? No, 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 it's not. But you can do it. Point at yourself and say, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can make it. The trial cannot last because God does not dwell in the trial, but God dwells in you. You've got to get Him inside of you. You've got to have a relationship with Him for yourself. Your pain may be about over. It's time for you to trade it for the joyous feelings of liberty. Go forward. Walk on. Walk through. Walk thrilled. When you feel down, keep walking. When you feel discouraged, keep going through. Keep walking. When you feel sorrow and alone, just keep walking. Stay thrilled. Have a passion that burns inside of your heart. I love God. I love my brothers and my sisters. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep going through. And I'm going to be thrilled. Because God is the captain of my ship. He is the master of my destiny. I've just got to be a willing, humble servant. Willing to plug in and say, God, here I am. An imperfect man, but I love you. I'm going to walk on. I'm going to walk through. I'm going to walk thrilled. If you would stand to your feet all over the building. Don't just gaze at the wilderness of your circumstances. Arise and go. Go. Go forward. Walk on in the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. I want to close with it before they sing. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things that are behind. You can't live in the past. You've got to live now. You've got to live now. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14. I press toward the mark. Say that with me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Walk on. Walk through. Walk thrilled. If I could charge you with anything today, it would be this. Walk on. Walk through. And walk thrilled. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil hold you down. Don't let the devil stop you. Or your witness. Or your ministry. Or your future. Or your destiny in Christ. Walk on. Walk through and walk thrilled. I wish you'd join the hands of your neighbor and lift it in the air as they begin to sing right now. Let's just begin to love the Lord. God, we want to walk on in every situation. We want to walk through every trial. Oh God, we want to be changed by your love and your mercy and your grace and the word. We're going to make it. We're going to make it in the name of Jesus. Come on, just ask Him. Whatever your situation is, just say, God, get me through this. God, get me through this with joy and peace. Oh, God, give me a change in my mind and my heart. Give me favor, oh, God.
Oh, I've been changed.